You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some noise!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, yo, what's good?
Look at this, another Friday episode of the Cooligans. How chill are we? It's just a nice little Friday episode. You know, you just sipping on your white wine while you listen to this episode. And in you know, the Wednesday episode, you sipping on a 40.
Yeah, Wednesday episode, you got the 40 with the brown bag. This episode, you got a little cheese played out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had this is a more low key chill, you know. You'll laugh, but it's like it's instead of like a ha ha ha, you're like ha 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 ha, you know, like a rich man laugh.
Right, maybe your monocle falls out.
Yeah, isn't that embarrassing? You know.
Oh God, no! It's so gauche.
us rich people and our rich people problems.
Right, with your boat shoes, and that's all I know about rich people. I'm a roach person.
Yes,
they're rich people.
You're much more familiar with the roach people. Yeah,
people are my people. Those are me hand there right now. That are like, we ain't sipping wine. We sipping Cisco.
the R&B singer.
No, the bum juice. Please don't be so. I mean, maybe you could sip Cisco. He could use the companionship.
All right. Let's see what you packing in the trunk today.
Well, that's why I always wear a thong in case Cisco's around.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Yes, welcome to. You know, we're still getting used to this second episode a week of Cooligans. Again, thank you to the Gully Squad for helping make this happen. And if you guys want to be a part of that movement of the Gully Squad, make sure you go to soccercooligans.com and join the Gully Squad and help make help make this show and help us talk about the things that you want us to talk about. We got a bunch of weird. I mean, we get requests. It doesn't even matter if they're weird or not weird. Some of them are vague.
Please don't send us weird requests.
Don't send us weird or do. I mean, look, yeah. You're paying for it.
You know who our fans are, right? That is a dangerous proposition.
We got a request from the homie Neil Gavoni. Shout out NYCFC fan. He made a nice, fun suggestion. He just said, make more jokes about Euro snob soccer fans. So look,
gladly
we can. That's right up our alley.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God, that is what that's the thing we printed out and put over our dartboard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we get stuff like that. Any fun questions or topics you want to see to talk about or investigate more or whatever you want us to do, that hard hitting investigative journalism. Yeah, that's what you got to get on the Gully Squad.
Yeah, that's what we're sleuthing around
amongst the roach people. So yeah,
we're gonna solve everything as long as it happens within a roach community.
Yeah, that's our fan base now. That's the new name for our fans, the roach people. I'm sure they'll love that.
How did I mess up saying rich and turn it into roach? I mean, that is pure Alexis right there.
So welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are your favorite stand-up comedians out in New York City that host your favorite comedic soccer podcast.
Yeah, by far the funniest soccer podcast. And it just so happens to also be the goddamn gulliest soccer podcast. Bang, bang.
That's right. And it gets gullier and gullier by day. People are joining this movement. I think there's going to be, little kids being rude to their mothers. Going to be like, yo, mom, I'm too gully to be doing the dishes. You know, I think it's really happening.
Yeah, like go ahead and make dinner. This time, try not to burn it, man. Just mad disrespectful.
Timothy, are you serious right now? Where are you learning this from?
No, is this because of that soccer podcast your dad keeps playing?
So, yes, mom, it is. But I do want to mention, because we've been getting some really great reviews. We're just 5 away from 300 on iTunes. So if you want to leave a review, now's the time to do it. Help us get to 300. It's just like that movie that you like with all those half naked men. So, yeah.
Are you talking to me or that mom who's now listening?
We got a little something for everybody. All right.
Oh,
mom,
yeah. Everybody
mom is sipping on that white wine as well. Enjoying this show for different reasons.
Yes, absolutely. Listen, we're for everybody. Okay. Everybody gets a taste.
So I want to, this might be a little long, but I have to read this because this genuinely blew my mind. This was not even a review that was left on iTunes, because one, I think it's maybe there might not be enough characters for this to fit in an iTunes review, but this was from on Twitter, Joe Rodriguez. This is Jose Rodriguez. He left this he just messaged us. He just DM'd us this review, and it's more than just a review. It is. It's an homage. It is almost a poem. And if
I haven't seen this yet, I haven't heard this yet.
Yeah. So this is, I'm gonna deliver it with the same energy that a certain Chicago rapper would deliver it as well. Cause you're gonna understand what I'm saying in just a moment. And for everyone, I'll explain everything at the end, but this is how it goes. This is from Joe Rodriguez at Joe Rodriguez 27. Thank you for this. He goes, "Don't have iTunes anymore because who does anymore? But I got to leave my guys a review I give anyone, saying that two bald head dudes run soccer podcasts in America. That's the stuff I don't like. Boys Uh-oh. In school telling me always in on the soccer field. Cooligans ain't about this. Cooligans ain't about that. My boy CP always crossing on Beasler and them. Hey, they say that they don't be putting in no work. Shut up. Y'all boys ain't no gully. All y'all guys talk about. Cooligans ain't no Brits. Cooligans ain't this. Cooligans is fake. Shut up. Y'all don't reel with them. Y'all know they got caught with the pizza shooting at the top podcast charts and stuff. Boys been on gully since I don't know when. My guys, stop playing with them like that. Them boys savages out there. If I catch another guy talking sweet about Cooligans, I'm beating them at FIFA. I'm not playing no more. No, those them boys roll with Total Soccer Show in them." And scene.
That is beautiful. The only thing left is, "Bitches love Cooligans, yeah, they know us."
Shout out Joe Rodriguez with the straight up Chief Keef review of the Cooligans. And that's what we're all about. Thank you so much for that.
That is one of the most beautiful things. I never, you know, when you and I first grabbed microphones in the kitchen/living room of my old apartment 3 years ago, I never thought someone would Chief Keef us.
What an honor. I mean,
we've been keefed.
It's better than any award, a Grammy, an Emmy. Who cares? I don't need any of that stuff.
That is so dope, man. Shouts to, what was it, Jose Rodriguez?
Yeah, dude. Thank you,
Shouts
Jose.
To Jose Rodriguez. That's so fire.
Unbelievable. So thank you so much for that. And again, that one was too long to fit on iTunes. But guys, leave a review on iTunes. With just 5 away from 300. It's 2 seconds out of your day. Nobody wants to leave a review. Nobody. It's such a burden, but it really helps the show grow. And like Jose said, help us climb, shooting up those podcast charts on iTunes. So.
And that's the only thing we're shooting up. Okay?
No more outside of that. Yeah. We told Gunny, like, put it down. We don't need any. We don't need to be that pushy anymore to get reviews. So we put Gunny is living a life of peace going forward. So
absolutely. And we want everyone to know Gunny, while he's a big fan of ours and we're a big fan of Gunny, he is vehemently anti-gun and anti-gun violence. And he's pro gun reform. So
that's right. He's like we've said in the past, some people may not know if they're listening for the first time. Gunny is a part of the show. He is a character. He's that he delivers transfer rumors. He's a gun that delivers transfer rumors. And he hates guns and he hates himself. He hates his family. He hates everything about it.
He's a self-hating gun.
Self-hating gun.
This all came about when we were on tour and we were in the South and unfortunately, you know, when in Rome, you know?
Sure. And we speaking of 300, how many guns were in that? There were none, obviously. So
they might have won. It would have been the only one with one. You
know? So a big show planned today. We're going to be talking. You know, you're here for the U.S. men's national team against England. You know, it's again. I think we have to secede again because they put such a whipping on us.
I wish the USMNT would have just walked up to the press box, took all the tea and threw it in the River Thames.
So we're going to be talking about that game. We're going to be talking about,
Before we start, we just want to know that, Strawgate is now expanded. Somebody tweeted at us yet another word. Some people apparently in Spain call them botillos.
Oh my goodness.
This is pure insane. And I don't know how no one else has covered this. This needs to stop today.
It's getting out of hand.
It really is. Why are there so many? Well, there's one object. it's like, you know, Eskimos have like, what is it, a couple hundred words for snow? Yeah. This is the same thing.
What do they call cocaine? Just straight up cocaine. That's it.
there's only two words for cocaine, and it's yes, please.
So we're going to be talking about that game, and we also have Reggie Cannon on the show. This was from our interview when we were at Dallas a couple weeks ago at FC Dallas and talking to a bunch of people. You heard, if you haven't heard our interview with Oscar Pareja, make sure you do that. We spoke to a bunch of FC Dallas, players and staff. So this is just another part of that series. And we had a great conversation with him. And you may have seen recently, if you're an FC Dallas fan or not, you follow us on Twitter or on Instagram, you saw a video that we had retweeted that I happened to film of Reggie Cannon receiving the Player of the Year award from the FC Dallas supporters, the Dallas Beer Guardians. Shout out to them it was great because I met them at the tailgate. Shout out to Bailey Brown, who's I think either the president or at the top, one of the leading members of Dallas Beer Guardians. And she was like, hey, we're going to be giving this award and it'd be cool if you checked it out. And I was like on the opposite end of the field and I literally ran. I saw Reggie. I'm like, yo, they're going to think I'm chasing Reggie Cannon. And I was like worried because I was like getting a little aggressive. But I really wanted
against the press credentials. I think you're not allowed to chase down a player.
Tackle Reggie Cannon before he gets there. Like, well, I wasn't here. You can't start without me. So just a really great moment of him receiving the award, and he got very emotional. It was after a loss against Sporting Kansas City, and it was like FC Dallas, I mean, their season ended, and it was like a bad streak in those last like three games, but it was still a positive moment in the season, and I'm glad I got to capture it because no one else did. Imagine. Yeah, having such a great moment and nobody was there. FC Dallas media, nobody was there. It was just me, baby. So
that's all we need. It's just, you know what you do, call Roach People Productions.
That's right. Okay. All right. Now I gotta get that like that LLC because it's gonna be a strong company in the future. So
it's gonna be a big one.
So stay tuned for that interview in this episode. It's gonna be dope. So all right, let's get right into it, Alexis. Holy smokes. The United States of America.
We got the smoke.
we got all the smoke. This is probably outside of the Trinidad and Tobago game, outside of that debacle, was this the worst performance for the U.S. men's national team that you've seen since that tragedy?
Can I not answer that until Italy?
Man, this was the first time that I don't even necessarily the first time, but like We had Dave Sarokin on the show. We've spoken to him, but this was the first time where I was like, wow, I think the men's national team doesn't really have a clear vision or plan. And I'm not sure if he can deliver it because it doesn't seem like these players are on the same page at all.
It you know what it is? It's like, it feels like everyone's kind of done with this experiment. And we talked to Sarokin. He's been on our show. We talked to him at MLS All-Star. We love the guy. The players love the guy. Tim Weah loves the guy. But this experiment is over. It's time to bring in a new or the coach. And what the hell is Ernie Stewart waiting for? The more this goes, the more we find out no one's been interviewed.
Nah, man, it's too much. That's too much paperwork. I ain't trying to interview nobody.
Oh God, yeah, I gotta put your name into security so you can get in the building. I'm just not doing it.
Oh come on, who has time for any of that stuff? Text me. Interview over text. That's
We'll FaceTime.
I think that after this game, the U.S. loses 3-0 to England, and I mean, it just couldn't have. Everything that could have went wrong did. I mean, it's nice that they only gave up 3. I think that's kind of the best thing to take away from the game. The first half was absolute nightmare. I don't know what, from an attacking perspective, the U.S. men's national team has no identity. They have no real vision. Who is in the midfield is just going to hold the ball long enough to make a couple passes. They can barely get the ball to Pulisic. Weah didn't touch the ball till it must have been like the 20th minute. It's really crazy. There's the front of I was excited to see Weah and Pulisic playing together with Bobby Wood, like a nice, like strong three up top. There's gonna be a lot of creativity, a lot of fun. England was like, nah, man, you ain't having a good time because you're not even gonna be looking at the ball, you're not even touching the ball. Really, really frustrating.
I do like that England was just like, yo, we're going to put in our B squad and we're going to run game all over you. I mean, it was just embarrassing.
Yeah. The defensively, I think that's my main concern. I'm like, and this is where the coaching seems to be the problem. Like how do they look that poor defensively? You know, because the game they played, right before the World Cup against France, well, that game ended up 1-1. How confident defensively, did the men's national team look? Nobody's expecting them to be at a place where they're just banging and golazos everywhere. But defensively is the thing that if we're American and athletic and the same thing, and we're not, the quality is not there. But we can play D, right? Isn't that our thing? Isn't that to not get embarrassed and. This game felt very much like an embarrassment.
It was one of those things where, like, in the moment, you're like, look, the game doesn't matter. It's a friendly, blah, blah, blah. But you just don't want to go out like a chump. And that's exactly what happened to us. And who's to blame? You honestly can't blame the players, right? They can only play in the system that they're requested to play. They all look like they came out to play. No one looked like they were sort of taking it easy out there. You know, Christian Pulisic looked and sounded frustrated as hell after the game. Can you blame the coach? He's not even the real coach. He's like, I don't know. This ain't mine. I'm just trying to keep it together.
Look, I'm just trying to make sure this boat doesn't sink. I don't know what else you want me to do.
He's all like, I don't know. You asked me to house it. All right. Your plants are dying. I don't know what you're supposed to feed them.
It's really on you for asking me to do this. Yeah.
What do you mean you had 2 cats? I only count 1 cat. You know,
look, I made a checklist when I got here. I'm pretty sure there were not 2 cats.
There certainly ain't 2 cats now. All right. Unless, let me check the top of the cabinets. Like, that's
hey, you joshing me right now. Hey, yeah. Quit joshing.
you yanking my chain? Dog, you also had a dog. It's just one of those moments where, like, it's no one's responsibility, and there's zero reason. If Berhalter's the guy, and supposedly Berhalter hasn't even been interviewed,
I don't know what that's
going on. Berhalter is the guy. Why did he just not literally step off the field at Red Bull Arena, get on a plane, and go right to this camp?
No idea. Yeah. At least it was interesting to see that there were comments from Christian Pulisic after the game, and he was like legit upset. You know, he's not a teenager anymore because he is 20, right? And now as a 20-year-old Pulisic really can share his feelings, and he's made it clear that he's particularly not happy with not just, you know, he kind of named names. He was just like, you know, he didn't say like, yo, Sarakin is trash, but he was like, Sarakin is, he's kind of doing the best he can with what he has, but we need a coach that has a clear game plan, really obviously suggesting that Sarakin does not have a clear game plan that works with the personnel and stuff like that. And I like some of the stuff he said. He goes, quote, you're never happy to lose 3-0. It's a tough result. We need to get a lot better as a team. We can talk about continuing to gain experience. That is not why we are here. We want to win now. We need to win these games. I'm a competitive guy, and I know everyone else in the locker room is in the locker room as well. It wasn't good enough today. I had a really good chance in the first half that I need to score, and that could change the game. After that, they scored two quick ones, and that's what soccer is. It can change real quick, and there just wasn't time for us to recover. And he did make it clear, like, the team is not good enough. And I love that this is what we need to be hearing, not just a, especially for a friendly. I like that he said it at a friendly as opposed to a game that really mattered. He's really just saying like, yo, we're not good enough. Whether this is a qualifier or not.
Leadership quality that he has where, I mean, let's be honest. Sarakin is amazing. Yo, basically Pulisic is talking like the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give him the job.
Because Sarakin is definitely notorious for kind of, you know, I didn't like what I saw, but I saw some good things. And he's not particularly hard on the team or the players individually, at least not publicly. But this is the first time we're kind of seeing Pulisic be like, yo, I'm out in Dortmund. I'm doing all right. And I don't know what, I come back to my American brothers and I don't know what, maybe they ain't doing their homework. Like clearly something's off. And I like that it's at least been put out into the world that somebody's unhappy with it.
Also, he's got a lot going on because he didn't even get, I think either he was on the bench or he didn't even get in the 18, the most important game at Dortmund's, season so far. And it looks like Jadon Sancho is taking over his spot. Jadon Sancho having a beast of a season so far.
Sancho, if Jadon Sancho is not in like a Amigos lyric immediately, I don't know what is going on. Sancho.
Yeah. Oh, Jadon Sancho.
It's a perfect name. What a great name, that dude.
Well, shouts to Jose Rodriguez because Jadon Sancho starting over Pulisic is some shit I don't like.
That's right, man. So. Look, the game itself, I mean, there's not much to say outside of just England was just incredible. And they were just at every level, up front in the midfield and defending. They just clearly had the US's number. It really did feel the stage was too big for a lot of the US men's national team players. I was watching the John Brooks and Matt Miazga, they just look so uncomfortable getting the ball to anybody. They look nervous passing it to anyone. You could just tell there was just something in their body language, and everything was off. But the goal from,
can we be honest though, the reason why some of these passes look short and they look tentative, all it was because they just didn't understand where the other player was going to be or where they were going to run to. And that is a symptom of them not having a system, not having an identity, not having a style of play. It seemed like so old school, like so early 90s version of American soccer, where it was like, well, just defend your asses off and hopefully we can catch them in a counter. It's embarrassing. And yo, Bobby Wood, it's just not good anymore.
Yeah, that's another weird. Just we're seeing the quality from compared to the last World Cup to now. Just certain players are just like, they're not even old. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like they're not breaking into their club teams and getting like a lot of time.
Coming to MLS.
Coming to MLS, Bobby. we got all the playing time in the world for you. Maybe that is a thing he needs. I don't know. He doesn't look great. During the qualifiers, he wasn't, you know, stellar. But I thought Villafaña was also off. Like, just everybody seemed, again, nervous, uncomfortable. And, I just seeing Sancho like just cut up everybody and just like have a good old time. Like that's my bigger concern. Like, I understand. I don't expect the U.S. to beat England, but defensively, yo, that should be our identity. If we're not going to just be a flashy attacking team. So it just, overall just super frustrating to watch. The game itself felt a little bit like, and I couldn't tell because, you know, some people were concerned that Tyler Adams didn't start the game, but clearly he had a huge game over the weekend against Columbus. You don't expect him to start the game. The players that are about to, you know, are still in MLS playoffs. It felt, I don't know if this is accurate, but it felt like a lot of the players, especially because it was for Rooney and his whole thing, it felt like too much pageantry, and it felt a bit like an NFL All-Star game where, like, we're going to play, but it's not serious. No, let's not get hurt. Like, let's just make sure we leave this game with nobody getting hurt. It felt a little bit like that. Like, people were, they had other stuff on their mind. Like, they weren't trying to just, like, win this game.
It just seemed like they came to do an appearance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was like the movie stars when they're like in those press junkets, they don't want to be there. They know it's part of the contract and they're just, you know, half-assing all the answers. And it's just, no one came to play. Three players that stood out, And I feel bad. I want to put Guzan in there, but I think the dude's time is done as a national team keeper. I know Zach Steffen is injured. We should have given, you know, a Klinsmann's kid or Horvath another shot, somebody. But and honestly, maybe Horvath doesn't get a shot because of you and I. Sarakin was on our show and he did the whole Horvath. Yo, he probably has that in the back of his head.
Imagine we ruined this man's life.
I was going to say influence the lineup. I mean, you don't have to. Jesus Christ. You can still have a good career without getting in the national team. All right. It's not our fault. Please don't sue us. But I think with three players that stood out, Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie in the second half when Tyler Adams was there and Tyler Adams was covering the back line, playing more defensive midfielder, and it allowed Weston McKennie to go forward, which also we look like a better team. Yeah, so
when Tyler was in there, it did feel very much like there was a through pass that he made that was really good that he split two defenders. And I'm like, why is he so he's a kid. How is he the most comfortable in the midfield sending passes? And that isn't even a thing that he's either like he's particularly known for or that we expect that much out of him. He's supposed to be like our N'Golo Kante to some extent. And he seemed to be the most poised and most comfortable playing against England. I think the frustrating part for me, like if Pulisic makes that chance, if he buries that, I mean, what a completely different game this is. Just a bummer that he missed that shot. Oh, that Pickford saved it.
I mean, you know, I know people say like, you gotta put those away. You gotta finish them. I completely agree. That was an incredible save. I mean, what are you going to do?
He took an extra touch when he probably didn't need it, man.
It was also off of a deflection. It's not like that was a wonderful pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying. Like, yeah, we should have scored in this one miracle chance we had. Come on.
it's frustrating that the chances are miracles. You know, like how are we still as a men's national team program still like, oh, if we get one chance, maybe something, you know, like we should be. Further than that, where a chance is like this blessing that we had an opportunity to score a soccer goal. It's a pain. It's a pain in the ass.
It's so annoying that we're still at this place where, like, you know, we need like these miracles and these special things to happen just for us to try to get even with another team's B squad.
Yeah, but the, I mean, that Jesse Lingard goal did not feel B squad ish.
No, and by the way, someone who's English who heard us on Flagrant 2 try to give us some of that 280 character smoke, and we weren't having it. That was not the shoot dance. That was the Tekashi 6ix9ine stupid dance.
Oh, that's right.
Come on now. If you go and try to flame us, you got to use the right terminology.
Okay. That's right. I mean, if you better get your fad hip hop dances down packed. Otherwise, we ain't going to respect you. All right. I know these dances last about 45 seconds, but you better know, you better know them back to front, which is also one of my favorite hip hop dances, the back to front. Yeah. Anyway. this was one of the, from at least for me, this was the worst showing for the U.S. men's national team since Trinidad. I don't know what to expect against Italy. I'm gonna assume it's gonna be more of the same. There has to be some sort of announcement that raises the optimism, because it's been brutal. The team looked uninterested, unhappy, unmotivated. So pick a coach, any damn coach, just literally anybody. That it's not even about that. It's Sarakin's fault, but clearly the players, it's not resonating with them. So we got to move on. This relationship is when you can be in a relationship for a long time and then something bad happens and then you just completely tune out, like, oh, your girl's mad, and it's like your anger doesn't even affect me anymore. That's how much I don't care. That's where the players are with Sarakin.
It's like, I don't know. It's like your stepdad and your mom's like, don't worry, I'm breaking up with him tomorrow. And he's like, you know, clean up your room. You're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's been a 13 month, you know, he's been a 13 month lame duck, a lame stepdad, where it's hard to earn the respect when the players know that you're not going to be there for a long time. And
dude, it's been 13 months,
over a year. It's just insane that we haven't picked anybody. We haven't picked anybody. How's it?
We haven't even interviewed anybody.
Well, according to Sam Stasgold, he did mention that there were several people that were not interviewed that we know for sure, except Pareja, Martino, Tata Martino, not Kyle Martino, Tata Martino. Maybe they're related. Who knows? So the who were the other ones that were possible candidates?
Vermees. Sampaoli. No, Vermees.
Right. Top of the list, right? Vermees.
How about
Vermees?
Jesse Marsh?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, he definitely was an interview. But Vermees had at least, he said he had a conversation with somebody. I don't know who, but whether it was a phone call or something, but I don't think he had a proper interview. So, yeah, just a frustrating thing. The other tidbit that was interesting that I saw today, or yesterday, if you're listening to, you obviously listen to this on Friday, at SoccerX, which is a soccer, what is it, like a conference in Miami, Don Garber was there and he was talking about Tata Martino and mentioned, and he kind of spilled the beans. It hasn't been made official that Tata Martino is with the Mexican national team, but Don Garber was just like, yeah, it's a shame he's leaving, but he's going to Mexico. And everybody was like, oh, okay. All right, I guess you would know.
Blue check mark.
I guess you know what you're talking about.
He's the guy. He's the one who would know.
He even did the Trumpism a little bit, where like, when you know how Trump will say something and then he'll be like, Bill Simmons, or yeah, I know Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons, good guy. We have a long relationship. Like he name dropped and then said, yo, I spoke to the people from FMF and everything. And so it was like, oh, okay. So you're just saying exactly what happened. And a lot of people were saying that he wasn't supposed to say that, and that was actually a real slip up on Garber's part.
I mean, clearly, because nothing's been confirmed. Well, it is now. And also, what did I say on the show? If he goes to Mexico, Ernie Stewart needs to be fired. Now, I will ask you, give me one reason why, knowing everything we know, why Ernie Stewart shouldn't be fired. And I will just say this. Supposedly, no one has been interviewed. We know a slew of people who haven't been interviewed. It's been 13 months. 13 months.
Well, Ernie Stewart has not had the job.
I know he hasn't been there for 13 months. It's been 13 months since we lost.
It has been.
And we still don't even have a rumor of a coach. Tell me, give me one reason why Ernie Stewart shouldn't be fired right now.
I don't have a reason why he shouldn't be fired, but I also don't have a reason why he should have the job. He should have been hired in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he's doing exactly.
No one knows what he's doing.
So when it comes to whatever that trickle down effect of having some kind of authority and or ideas or a vision at the top that would trickle down to the players from the men's national team, that's clearly not the case. Ernie Stewart is not doing that. So yes, then there's no real reason. I don't know. Yeah, this, I can't say to keep him. I can't say to let him go or whatever, because he hasn't done anything that in particular that's like, this is where you messed up, or this is like, a lot of the stuff, you know, it is rumor. We don't know who they're talking to, who they're not talking. None of this is confirmed. Ernie hasn't said specifically, yo, I ain't talking to nobody, and puts his feet up on his desk all day. We don't know that exactly.
Well, here's the thing. He hasn't come out and said that it's not true. He hasn't come out and done a long form interview. He hasn't shared. What's he keeping it secret from?
I guess just secret. He's trying to hide it from everybody. Maybe it's like, you know,
trying to keep it secret from like other federations. I don't care what Ernie does.
Maybe he's like, you know how when you work at some place that has like that where there's like a lot of bureaucracy and you don't. Your job is so vague that no one knows exactly what you do, but you always want to seem busy. So maybe that's kind of where he is, where he's just like, he kind of overinflates what his actual role is. But in reality, he's just like kind of just scrolling through tweets, trying to see who to hire. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's probably it. Like, he's just like, I don't know, if you walk past the lunchroom enough, people seem to think you're busy, you know?
So I don't know, man. I mean, we can talk about this till we turn blue. It's insane. So not a good start, but maybe when do they play? They play on Tuesday, the next game against Italy. So we'll probably be recording before that game happens. We will be recording before that game happens, most likely. So, yeah, well, maybe we'll talk about it, and hopefully it's not the worst loss in the world, because the U.S. men's national team seems to be, not going in a good direction, especially when the women's national team have went undefeated in 2018. So there's a big drop off from those two squads.
I think if we could just say one thing that's different about the women's team versus the men's team is that the women's team has a coach.
and they should really stop bragging about it, okay? Because it's getting insulting.
Honestly, just putting her on, or I forgot who it is actually now. Jill Ellis still. Yeah, I'm putting her on your shoulders and just carrying her around.
So what was the other thing I wanted to talk about real quick? And then we'll get to our interview with Reggie. Oh, yeah. This confirmed. I saw this on Mickey Turner, who is a lawyer. He's a Seattle Sounders fan. But he goes by Soccer ESQ on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. So I was watching. I was looking at his blog and he was talking about about Austin. And we should mentioned it's confirmed that Austin will not be playing next year in 2019. So just if anyone wasn't sure, so it looks like they have no stadium. They can't sort that out quick enough. So they will be playing most likely in 2021. I think this was also revealed at SoccerX. This is another thing Garber spilled the beans about. So
Garber, thank God he doesn't know anything about Area 51. I mean, this is
Garber. I think Garber is deep throat. We figured it out.
Jeez, Garber is like, yeah, so Mueller's going to impeach. Oh, never mind.
Maybe this is one of those things where Garber, maybe he's going to like thinking of retiring soon. So he's just like, ah, I don't care. What do you want to know, kids? I'll tell you about the war.
Let it all out.
I shot a guy.
Smoke a cigarette, kid. Who cares?
So that's been confirmed. And shout out to, because we got to hang out with him. He was in town. Landon. Donovan. I'm kidding.
Donovan. We hung out with Landon Donovan.
Landon. I've never heard him say his last name. I'm assuming it's either Cotham or Cotham. He is an MLS to Austin guy, right? And you know, we have listeners in Austin who
and hold on, right now I know that there's just white knuckling a steering wheel in Columbus. Our fans in Columbus listening. Landon was one of the Save the Crew, but also, yo, I live in Austin and I'd love a team.
Yes.
Guys.
One of the reasonable ones.
He was one of those guys who was like, no, 100% Save the Crew. But also, yo, I like this whole idea about me getting a team.
You know, this is sort of piquing my interest in me getting a team. I would have really loved that. So, we got to hang out, and he's one of the people that's a part of Austin Anthem, which is the supporters group for Austin FC. And it's cool. Again, just like when NYCFC started and we kind of saw that in its infancy and you know, how people were sort of creating the culture. And he's one of those people that are doing a lot of the work to build a foundation so that when the team does arrive, that there's some organization, there's some cohesiveness and a welcoming space for new soccer fans in Austin. So it was good that we got to hang out with him. We got to learn about all the stuff that a lot of the people are doing to get that stuff ready. And a lot of people are working really hard, and they are very excited that they get to get a team. They have to wait a little longer, but at least they don't have that stink of like that pre-court stink of like moving the team. So they're optimistic about what it looks like going forward.
I mean, I like the idea of adding more teams, and you know, now with MPSL sort of figuring out, I think they're going to do the Founders Cup. They're starting to figure out their structure, which I think a lot of the NASL teams, Miami FC, Cosmos are going to be a part of that. You know, MLS being in Austin, all these things, these are all positives for U.S. soccer. These are all, you know, Christian Pulis says, yo, we're not good enough. This is how we're going to get better players, more clubs, more academies, all of it.
Yeah. So that's it. I think that's it.
Actually, some news broke while we were on. I text you. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it. What news?
Looks like Newell's Old Boys is interested in Maxi Urruti.
Oh, you mean Mate Urruti.
That's right. Who we got a chance. So we should put this video out soon before it doesn't make any sense. But the one thing I want to point out is that in the video, you'll see his thermos is a Newell's Old Boys.
Yeah.
Thermos. His phone had Newell's Old Boys. He was wearing something, and he had a tattoo, I believe, right?
Yeah, clearly he was sending out like a beacon, a light.
A distress signal.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm out here. I want to go home. Like, call me back.
But this is Major League Soccer sent this out. Apparently, the Argentine club is going to talk to, and that's in quotes from the Newell's Old Boys vice president, going to talk to Maxi Urruti. So he says he's going to talk to him in the next few days. So, look, the guy's 27, clearly has a love affair with the Newell's Old Boys, which was his youth team, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. or at least the team he grew up following. And now it looks like he's going to go there.
I would say not a good move for him, I think, to go to at this age. You know, Argentina can be the retirement league for Argentinians. You know what I mean? Tevez is there coming off the bench, and you know, he doesn't need to leave just yet. He's still a great player. And FC Dallas, there's still a lot of promise. The team is consistently doing well. I'm sure I don't know how much he's making, but I'm sure I don't think he would make more in Argentina. Am I wrong?
He would make more in Argentina. And there's not that many comments just yet because this was just released, but it looks like 75% of the comments are, please don't do that. Sell him back to us at Timbers. So
that's right.
Portland fans still absolutely love Maxi Urruti.
He helped them win the cup. He helped them win the cup in 2015. So it'd be a shame to if he leaves MLS so soon. I think so. I think he still has a lot to offer,
especially after hanging out with us for the first time.
That was the best part of his career. I think the report should be like, Argentinian club, Newell's Old Boys, is rumored to be interested in FC Dallas Maxi Urruti, but Maxi, after a newfound love affair with the Cooligans, is having a very difficult time making a decision because he really enjoyed sipping on some mate with the Cooligans.
I mean, that's probably in there somewhere. I didn't read the whole thing, but you gotta assume.
Who reads the whole article nowadays anyway? It's probably in there.
Headlines, bruh, and then I start yelling about it on Twitter.
I did give him a sticker, a Cooligan sticker, so maybe we'll be on a thermos someday, on Maxi Urruti's thermos. That'd be nice.
Oh my God, that'd be so dope. Newell's Old Boys next to, you know, Cooligans.
Yeah, we're also old boys, so it works out well.
God. That worked out too well.
So let's get to our interview with Reggie Cannon because it was dope as hell.
Speaking of FC Dallas.
Speaking of FC Dallas, exactly. Reggie Cannon joined us in the conference room at Toyota Stadium. We were out in those offices just hanging out. Players, it was like a revolving door of FC Dallas players that came in and didn't know what was on the other side of that door. And it was two comedians, and they had a good time. Reggie Cannon in particular was so awesome and so fun, and clearly a dude with just a good head on his shoulders. And I'm excited about his career and what he's going to offer the U.S. men's national team, because I think not just as a player but as a person, a great dude that's going to be in that locker room. So let's get to it. Let's get to our conversation with Reggie Cannon of FC Dallas.
Yeah, baby! Yes. Come on!
We're here.
Cooligans in Dallas!
Cooligans in Dallas, yeah.
I'm wearing a vest. I'm still wearing a cowboy hat. I'm wearing cowboy boots all the way up to the knees. I didn't know they made those.
Wow, those are very high boots.
I'm trying to flex.
The imagery is just great. We have been having a great time in Dallas. And again, thank you again for FC Dallas being incredibly welcoming, so supportive, fans of the Cooligans.
They let us put our air mattresses in the front office there. We ain't going nowhere.
It's our new home. Oscar's our new puppy.
Please don't leave your bowls in the sink of the room. That's where we shower. I need a place to sit.
But we're incredibly excited to talk to our next guest, who is definitely not only an up-and-comer in the Dallas area FC Dallas, but for the U.S. men's national team, who he recently made his debut, which was incredible. What's his name, Alexis?
Well, you guys know him. You love him. If you've watched some of the last few international games, you definitely know who this dude is. If you watch some of the U17, U19s, maybe you watch a little UCLA. Maybe you watch FC Dallas. You definitely know who this dude is. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Reggie Cannon.
Reggie, thanks so much for being here, man.
No problem. I love it. I'm ready to go.
All right, there you go.
Are you, so we were talking a little bit before, letting you know that we're comedians and we're trying to just have a good time. Are you a fan of comedy? Any particular stand-up comics that you're like into?
I'm very easy to make laugh. Let me just say that.
All right.
Well, so come to every show we do.
You are the perfect guest for this show.
Well, then this is going to be an hour-long conversation.
It's Reggie's laugh track. It's going to be this entire...
We'll just isolate it and put it in everything. Even if a joke bombs, just hit the Reggie Cannon button. Talk a little bit about your rookie this year.
Yeah.
You played for the national team setup, for the youth setup. Mm-hmm. And now you're stepping into the men's national team. You've just stepped into FC Dallas, right? You left college a little early to sign here as a homegrown player. Right. What a sort of fast track to your career. What's that been like over the last 12, 15 months?
Man, it's been a crazy journey so far, man. Yeah. I mean, coming into the locker room as a young guy, you know, you can only make so many friends because, you know, everyone else has wives and kids that they drop off in the morning. And you're like, I'm 19. I stay home and play Fortnite all day.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like it's kind of have to find a balance. But no, the team's been very welcoming to me in these past months. You know, I had a rough year last year. You know, I wasn't playing much. You know, I didn't see the field, but I was studying the game, was working extra hard. You know, and everything's been paying off this year. So it's been a good year so far.
That's dope. When did you, you grew up in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the Shy, all right. Shouts to everyone we know from the Shy. when did you went to UCLA? Was that your first time leaving Chicago?
So I moved from Chicago. We moved to Pittsburgh. And then from Pittsburgh, when I was about 5, we moved to Colorado. And then from there, from about 5 to 9, then we moved to Dallas, Texas. And that's where everything really took off.
Okay.
So then there, I played with the Adas Academy when I was 16. I came here when I was 16 years old, 16 to 18, played for the U16s and the U18s, and then went to UCLA for a semester. Literally only stayed there for 3 or 4 months, and it was done for me.
Yeah,
Oh, this is nice.
Oh, it's a nice place. I'm done. No, college ball is a very special. It's a very weird thing because it's not. I feel like I got everything I needed from that in 3 or 4 months, and it wasn't the level of it. It was just I think it was more of a commitment thing because it's college. Everyone's out partying, doing all that stuff. And for me, I wanted to be a pro, all that stuff was great. But to me, the more important thing was become a professional athlete. And that was my goal in the end. So
what was, let's get right to it. I mean, you just played against Peru. You played, how many minutes? 80.
I think I came on the 81st minute.
Okay. Yes. Some of us were not happy that happened, but whatever.
We'll talk to Dave. we'll call Sarah Kidd and tell him.
No, but what was that experience like playing against that competition, that debut? Well, how did it all feel?
Man, it was a crazy experience, man. Stepping on that field, I mean, it's been a childhood dream of mine to step on the field with DeAndre Yedlin, Michael Bradley, these people you grew up watching.
Right.
And, it's an honor to finally play with these guys. And, especially at that international level, it's a whole different competition. It's a whole new level you never knew existed. You think, FC Dallas are playing at a very high level, but there's a level even beyond that and then beyond that, There's just stuff I'm starting to figure out. And so it's been crazy so far, but I mean, I love stepping on that field, man. It was one of the best feelings I've ever felt.
How differently do you have to prepare for Peru versus preparing for Colorado Rapids? You mentioned Colorado.
Yeah.
I guess you don't even have to prepare for Colorado Rapids this year. Let's mention a team that might be a little bit more difficult to beat.
Shout out to my boy Kellen. Sorry, Kel.
Sorry, homies. But how differently do you prepare for them versus say an LAFC?
Yeah.
Was it different for you? Was it different from how you did in the youth setup?
Yeah, it's a lot different because you got a lot more eyes watching you now compared to Colorado Rapids, you're playing in front of maybe 20,000 people, but when you step on the field for the national team, you got millions of eyes on you now watching all over the world, and you never know who's watching, a team in Europe, a club in Europe, and that's all it takes. And that was the tough part, just getting all those nerves out. In the first half, I got all the butterflies out, got all that stuff out, and the second half, I came out a lot stronger. I wasn't too happy particularly to get subbed out, because I was like, I want to close this half out with the shutout and getting the win, because you always want your first cap. Your first step on the field to be a win and on a good note. And as soon as I stepped off, I'm not putting blame on anyone.
No, you can do it on this podcast if you want.
But man, it was just an unfortunate thing, to concede that late goal. But I think I played very well overall for my first cap. So
it was a good showing. It was something to be proud of. Even as fans, we're always like, it's always like, where's the men's national team heading? But seeing you there, seeing some of the younger guys there, and score some legit goals. I mean, just confident
some
goals.
Bangers.
Yeah, it leaves us being like, all right, you know what? There, it's in good hands. Yeah.
There is
exactly.
a future.
Beyond what happened. Yeah. Don't worry, guys. There is a plan. Yeah. There is a future.
There are people here who are willing to pick up this ball. How does it feel getting to train with some of the guys from the men's national team? Even guys that are young that maybe not a lot of people knew of back in the day, but now are playing in Europe, like your Tim Weyas and things like that. How does it feel to just be in training with them? Are you
you able to learn some stuff from them trying to cover them in some of those training stints? Are you able to sort of, you know, lift your level sometimes, learn some stuff?
Yeah, I definitely took a lot of things from this camp and took away a lot of stuff to add to my game. You know, looking at a player of like DeAndre Yedlin, who plays in Europe consistently in the top league, you know, it's nice to see the different things that he does and try to pick up some things. I'm not a thief, I would say, you know, taking things from him.
Yeah, you could steal.
Yeah.
In those situations, yes.
You have, but if you see Messi, steal so much from him, please.
But I'm slowly adding things to my game to help, you know, me when I get back to Dallas and prepare for playoffs. But it's nice to see people like Tim Weah and, you know, Josh Sargent, those kids succeeding over in Europe. You know, that's a big thing. And I think people really underestimate how much talent that takes to succeed on a big team in Germany or England, and how much it takes to break through to that team at 18 years old.
I mean,
it's crazy when you think about it, man. It's crazy.
So we got a little bit of some insider info on Reggie Cannon's life, right? And some people out here in FC Dallas, we're not going to drop names or whatever, but they were saying
They snitched on you, bro. We didn't even ask.
They were saying that you are slightly considered the underachiever in your family, right? So you just accomplished something incredible by getting your first cap with the men's national team.
I'll say this. If Christian or I even played for 30 seconds on the men's national team, we would both go home to full-on parades. You just play for the men's national team. If you told your older family members, they'd be like, oh, is that what you did? Have you seen our awards?
You know? So we were told your parents are like elite academia, right? Yeah. So mom went to Brown, right? Both parents just in Ivy League schools. Yep. And then apparently your grandfather won a Nobel Prize.
Yep.
So, a Nobel Prize.
Being a top meteorologist in the game, I should say.
Okay.
Shook Obama's hand and did everything. And I'm over here making my debut for the Navs team. My parents are like, whatever, that's cool.
Okay. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said because I was just listening to the acceptance speech.
And Grandpa won the Nobel Prize, bruh.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean,
During the game, did you discover new weather patterns? I don't think you did. Have you seen lives?
Hey, you know what? Look, that's not even going to make the fridge.
I know. Bro, I mean, we'll put it up in the garage. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
What is it like, especially having I feel like I see this a bit often where there's kids of families that are very teachers. I mean, I know Dave Chappelle had two parents that were teachers and stuff like that. Like, and then when somebody wants to do something wildly different, the family gets a little nervous because it seems risky.
Exactly. I mean, I was the first soccer player in my family. No one knew the sport until I started playing it. We had football, basketball, you know, track, all the different sports. But I was the first soccer player, and everyone, when I told them I wanted to be a professional soccer player, and they saw that I had the opportunity to do it, to leave college, my parents, like, you know, they kind of, it was a bit sketchy, you know? But it took some convincing. It definitely took some convincing at the end of the day.
An entire family that took education so seriously. You say, I'm not going to do that.
Say, screw that. Yeah. This is what I want to do. But no, at the end of the day, they want me to get my degree. You know, but to me, I want to focus on soccer now. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's working out well so far. I mean, that's what I'm going to be focused on for the next.
Well, if I could give you a compliment, it seems like you come from a family that has continued to pursue their dreams and break their molds. Yeah. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So keep doing it. Now, to go to something a bit different, we heard, maybe you could say if this is true or not, that your favorite rapper is Eminem.
Eminem, for sure.
How is someone your age getting involved with an old school rapper from Detroit?
That's the thing. See, that's the thing nowadays. When you have a living legend, because M is one of the greatest ever.
Without a doubt.
And take that away from him. He is one of the greatest to ever do it.
That is true.
He's a GOAT. You can argue it.
But unequivocally, should be top three at minimum. Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, now that it's into trap beats and people don't even give lyricists the time of day.
Lyricism is dead.
It's dead.
Bars are dead.
And when you hear someone who can do that, you hear a Kendrick Lamar, you hear an Eminem or someone like that.
It sounds new. It sounds refreshing.
They hold him to an unbelievable standard, and they're comparing it to the Eminem Show, the Marshall Mathers LP.
Yeah.
When Kamikaze's a great album, it's not that level, but he's, 40, however old he is. He's been in the game for 20 plus years. His longevity is unbelievable. He's dropping an album like Kamikaze.
He's great.
Which is unbelievable.
You've had this argument before. I'm going to say that.
I've had this argument before.
I mean, look, the only regret I think M should have is that weak-ass beard. I don't know what's going on. I beard is uncomfortable. It makes me
right. Machine Gun Kelly was 100% right. Shave that beard, bro.
He was right, but it was a weak bar, okay?
Oh, the bar was trash, but he was 100% right.
And see, that's what also I don't understand, that people were hyping up rap. It was Rap Devil was a good record.
Yeah.
It was a good, but it wasn't a good diss. It didn't hit hard. It just sounded good.
Here's where I disagree with you. No one in the game for the last 20 years has the balls to go after Eminem because he is.
Yeah, he's got to give him credit.
Exactly.
So you got to grade Machine Gun Kelly out of curve.
I give Machine Gun Kelly props for what he did. He was the only one out of all the rappers he chewed out. He was the only one to come back with a diss. And that I respect. He dug his own grave. But hey, I respect.
He handed the gun to his future. But I mean, speaking of Killshot, here's my thing. I think Killshot is the best track I've heard from Eminem and the best sort of delivery I've heard from Eminem probably in the last 15 years.
And I can agree with that fully, because you listen to his old diss tracks and there's a reason no one goes for him, because he will snap.
Yes, he's an assassin.
And he went light on MGK and still bodied him.
Yeah.
He had like double entendre, all of that stuff.
Oh, he body bagged from the first bar.
Body bag. It was on the first bar.
But here's my thing. It's like, Eminem, why you yelling and why you rapping so fast? Dog, you in a massive mansion. You got your girl back. You got your daughter back. Mom ain't bothering you no more. Solved all the issues.
That seems to be the issue with a lot of rappers, that once they get successful, the things that they rap about sound incredibly strange.
Yeah. He talks about it, because it's hard to keep running the race when you're on top.
Yeah.
You got nothing. It's easy when M's coming up. He can do whatever he wants. He can create the Marshall Mathers LP and the Eminem shows.
You can
do that when you're coming up. But when you're on top, it's tough to keep that, man. It's tough.
It seemed to me like MGK gave him a bit more of a sense of his old self again.
Yep, he lit a fire
over him. He relit that flame.
Exactly.
And that's why I've said Eminem, to me, has been trashed the last 15 years, because it's like, you're still rhyming like you used to, but it feels like you're just showing, I can do it. It didn't feel the same.
See, I think people don't even give him the time of day now, but I honestly think the past 15 years, M has not been trashed. I think he hasn't been the level of, obviously, old M.
He set that bar, you can't walk under it anymore.
But I think with Revival, I think he definitely dipped in quality. But with the Bad Meets Evil album and all the stuff he's released, he snaps on some verses, but they don't get the time of day because it's with Royce da 5'9" and all these guys that people will definitely not get. But when you do a feature with Kendrick and people will start to gain traction.
I love those D12 albums.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did.
Well, we found the guy. Look at this.
Good.
Here's the guy.
But look, it's just that M is just like, when you're a rapper I believe he's the only rapper that ever went diamond. Right? If I'm not mistaken, I forgot what album. I mean,
he's the highest selling rapper of all time.
Dude, once you can sell as much as Britney Spears at her height, you're either the best or very, very close to
it. MGK made me feel like, all right, M's back. Because for a long time, it seemed like he had no one in his camp that was saying no.
Yeah.
Come on, he wore
too many
double do-rags. Double do-rags.
Bold.
And I'm not here to talk about race. You're a white guy. You don't need any do-rags. You need zero do-rags, and you're wearing two at the same time. So all I'm going to say is, no one in your camp was like, yo, M, take it off, my guy.
What do you think M needs to do to he has GOAT status, but what do you think he needs to do to solidify his legacy, to end it? What do you think he needs to do?
He got
to
lose the house. I think if he loses the house, it will bring back his pain. It will bring back
I think M needs to be the underdog something.
It was like watching Rocky go up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like
watching
8 Mile was entertaining. Yeah.
That's
right?
Because it was his story. But like, nobody wants to see 8 Mile if he's pulling up in a Bentley with suicides. You know what I mean? Like, we're not paying attention to you anymore, bro.
Exactly. And that's why I think Kamikaze was a step up, because when you heard all the reviews for Revival, everyone trash on M's done, washed.
Yeah.
He lit a fight. He was like, all right, you want me to snap again? I'll snap. Yeah. You ain't ready for this. He snapped on Kamikaze. I think it was a great album. There were some songs on there that I think, that didn't belong. But the one, the first three, The Ringer, Not Lucky You.
Lucky You's dope.
We had some of the unbelievable songs. He would rap. That was the album he proved he is the best rapper alive. The production may not have been there. The beats, they may not have been the best, but on that album, he rapped his butt off.
To me, there's like the early M. There's a bunch of nothing, and then there's Rap God, which was fire.
Fire.
Because I was like, I'm tired of hearing you rap so fast and angry.
He is a rap robot. When he distorts words, he distorts
syllables to make them rhyme, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is, I didn't
who knew this was going to happen? Literally. This is a guy who just played against Perot. And we talking M discography.
Are you, in general, when it comes to rap, not like being a rap historian per se, but like I didn't expect this kind of passion out of you about this. So I'm like, yo, what'd you think about that Drake and Pusha T beef?
I know.
Like,
oh my gosh, dude.
I'm like, yo, Reggie, just let me know.
I know, right? Welcome to Hip Hop Hour, Reggie Cannon and the Cooligans.
That's the thing, man. When people heard Pusha T's response, they're like, oh, that's too far. That's what a diss track is. Like, that's a real, the old type of diss. Like, when Tupac said, first off, you know, that's what it was. When Pusha T came at him and talked about his dad walking, like, that's a diss track, man. And everyone's like, oh, no, that's too far. And Drake only talked about this. And then, no, that's what a diss track is supposed
stands.
To be.
Those are Drake stands.
Exactly. Drake stands.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, that was Pusha T bodied him lyrically. He lyrically jumped him.
You know what I love is that Pusha brought up a kid that he didn't want to tell the world about. Called him a Debbie Deb, which I thought was dope.
Yeah.
But remember when Remy Ma put out Sheether and she just ripped apart Nicki Minaj? Every bar was mad disrespectful. And let me tell you something, no one cared. People like, you, how dare you talk about a child Drake didn't tell the world about? It's like, what are you talking about? And you made fun of his dad, which he's made songs about his relationship with his dad. But Nicki Minaj got destroyed from the top to the bottom. She talked about diseases, talked about their contracts, the whole nine. And no one said a word. This is so funny. People are like, leave Drake alone.
Leave Drake alone.
Nicki Minaj is like, nah, she'll recover. she's good. She'll figure it out.
All right, so before we wrap up, what is the feeling going into the playoffs? I know that this might be I assume the first time in your MLS career that this is like, the playoffs are coming.
Yeah.
The expectations are very high. How do you feel going into that in your rookie year?
You know, it's going to be tough. Instead of playing, no offense to Cal and all that, instead of playing Colorado Rapids every week, you're going to be playing SKCs, LAFCs, Atlanta Uniteds. It's going to be tough to figure out the balance, but I think the team is peaking at the right time, and I think we'll see this weekend. You know, getting those 3 points against SKC, we'll lock in that first and second spot, which will give us a bye, and that's huge. That is because it's a single round elimination single game elimination in those first rounds. I think that's going to be huge going into playoffs. But I think, me personally, I'm gonna peak at the right time too. Coming back from national team, I got the confidence I need to feel like I'm the best fullback in the league and to feel that I can be a leader on this team. You know?
Do you think the pressure of playing internationally has prepared you a little bit for these playoffs?
Yeah. And I did feel that before I left against the game against Orlando. I left the next day for national team. I felt like the world was watching me then because you know, once that roster's released, man, you feel like all eyes are on you. You know, and so I had to take a deep breath at halftime, say, you know, I'm here for a reason.
Right.
And it called me up for a reason, and this is why you need to just take a deep breath and play. You've done this 1,000 times before. There's no reason to get
nervous. That's good, because now you won't lose yourself in the moment.
There we go. There we go.
Mom's spaghetti. I'm so sorry.
Reggie Cannon, thank you so much for taking some time and hanging out with us, man. This has been great. We had no idea what to expect, but we got to get you back on. And the next time M drops
If M drops a word, we're bringing you on the show.
Reggie Cannon, thank you so much for joining the Cooligans, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Love being here.
Thanks so much. Where can people follow you, by the way? Just real quick.
Oh, Reggie Cannon 15 on Twitter and Reggie Cannon 1 on Instagram.
All right, perfect.
All right, guys. Thank you
so much.
Oh, what a great interview.
Unbelievable. Reggie Cannon, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Crazy.
I know the fans probably wanted to hear about soccer, and we mostly talked about Eminem's discography.
we got to the important subjects, okay? This is more than just a soccer show. Some would even say that it is not a total soccer show. Would you agree, Alexis?
I mean, we are most definitely not a complete and total soccer show, but everything we do is soccer
that's
adjacent.
Right. Yeah. Welcome to the partial soccer show, which is, I think, a good name for this show.
The sometimes soccer show.
The occasionally when we feel like a soccer show.
I mean, we'll get to it.
With the hold your horses soccer show. Relax.
What are you in a rush? I mean, what are you trying to do here? Relax. Can't you see I'm talking to my roach people?
All right. Again, yes, thank you, Reggie Cannon, for that, man. Thank you again, FC Dallas. Again, we have some more, we got a couple more interviews, with some people. You know, the interviews are, now that we're, that FC Dallas are out of the playoffs, the interviews feel a little different, right? Because they were, all the conversations sound much more optimistic than they currently are, than the situation currently is, you know?
They had such hope in their voices.
We got them at a good time, guys.
For real.
So there's a couple more that we're going to be putting out. And who's left? Ryan Hollingshead.
And Tesho Akindele.
Tesho Akindele and Dan Hunt. So, speaking of FC Dallas, there was a letter from the supporters that was put out that where they sort of voiced their complaints about the state of the team and how the team is marketed and how come they're not filling the stadium and stuff like that. And it was like a kind of a real, like, hey, pointing some fingers and putting some blame and responsibility on the people that should be helping the team grow. And like, it is, at least for me, I know Alexis and I haven't spoken about this yet, but like it is a weird thing because, you know, every club sort of deals with it, right? Like, thank you. We're absolutely grateful FC Dallas was like welcoming to us and gave us like, honestly, I think the kind of coverage and the kind of access that they gave us, my hope is that FC Dallas fans feel like, you know, at least from a player or coach or front office perspective, like that maybe that they're at least trying something. Maybe it doesn't mean that they're void of criticism, but I hope people hear it and be like, oh, okay, these are like normal people, and this is what maybe I don't agree with their perspective or their vision, but like at least I understand it a little bit more clearly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation because it's not, you know, like absent for us, even for like NYCFC, you know, we're fans of the team and there's things we don't agree on and things, you know, we sort of have same issues with like not, you know, stadiums not full sometimes when how the team markets itself to, you know, different demographics and things like that. So I hope people don't think this isn't some like FC Dallas, like love episode or love show. Like we're grateful for the opportunity and grateful working with them. And the hope is like I said before, like, oh, hopefully it gives you guys a different, insight and view into the players and the coaches and you'll hear when we put it out with Dan Hunt as well. Hopefully you can hear that there is at least what I felt was some sincerity and love for the club. You know what I mean?
And I think when you hear the players speak and you realize that they're people, I get that it may not change, you know, how your frustrations or your anger towards their play on the field or the season you had, but it just gives you a little insight into who they are as people and how they think and that process. And it maybe just makes you a bit more understanding. Again, shouldn't, if you're angry, if you're upset, if you're disappointed, all those things should remain, but you should still kind of understand that inside the number and inside that jersey there's a human being in there.
Yeah, exactly. It took me a long time to acknowledge that there's human beings under those jerseys. I thought they were just sentient ghosts, but no, I was wrong. So thank you again for listening to the show. Remember, Gully, this episode does not happen without the Gully Squad members. Thank you again, all you guys, for helping us and supporting the show. So go to soccercooligans.com, hit the Join the Gully Squad button, and you know, you can throw in a few bucks and help support the show. If you don't care about like what we talk about, you can just throw a little bit of money and you know, you'll feel good in your heart knowing that you helped us keep doing this and not, you know, go hungry, because it's a lot of work. So, join the Gully Squad. We would appreciate it. Leave a review on iTunes and that's it. Anything else you want to add, Alexis?
No, that's it. I just, real quick, Claudio Ranieri apparently is the new Fulham manager.
That's right.
And, somebody posted Joel Football, posted that, Quakes, no, I'm sorry. The Rapids and the New England Revolution a few weeks ago were offered Claudio Ranieri as manager, and they both declined.
I mean, nothing would make me happier than seeing Claudio Ranieri in Colorado coaching the Colorado Rapids. That would
his first thing is like, let's figure out how to get warm.
Okay, we're actually, I think we're playing in the wrong state. Guys, yeah. There's a little to go there.
All away games in Hawaii.
Okay. Yeah. So that's then he'll be very much known as the Tinkerman, right?
He's really absolutely
changing everything from top to bottom. So, all right. Best of luck. Best of luck at Fulham, right? Fulham America, right? That isn't that supposed to be America's team after Dempsey was there and all that stuff? But they are playing like trash and will most likely be relegated. But best of luck to them. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. You guys are the absolute best. We appreciate every single listener, every single review, every single Chief Keef reference is really the way to our hearts. So thank you so
much.
That
is beautiful. That was just so beautiful. And hey, join Gully Squad right now. The show is about to be over. We're going to say the thing we always say when we end the show, but right now, pause it. Join Gully Squad, then come back for that. It would mean the world to us. It really helps us out. We are so close to really getting to a point where it sort of would change everything for us. So
yeah.
please join Gully Squad.
Do that. All right, guys. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together,
what are we?
The Cooligans!